May we read these words together in unison from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Every Sunday during this season of Lent, we have come back to a simple definition of Lent, and it can be found in your bulletin right underneath the Monday, Thursday meditation. Lent is a season of less in a culture of more. And so we've been thinking about alignment. We've had a simple prayer that we might align, our table manners with the table manners of Jesus. And so we come to his table one final time during this season of Lent. And the table manners that we've discussed are also listed in your bulletin this evening. We chose this series because in the Gospel of Luke, you find Jesus at table with all different kinds of people, and we get to observe how Jesus aligned everyday, ordinary moments like those around tables for common meals that happen three times a day. We get to see Jesus and how he behaves in these moments. So let's just review the table manners of Jesus briefly. You can see them in your bulletin. We started in Luke chapter 5 at a table with sinners. And Jesus had literally just called a man named Levi, who was a tax collector and despised by his own people for turning his back on them and siding with the Roman occupying force. And Levi was friends with other tax collectors and other sinners. And Levi said to Jesus, I know I committed to following you, but would you follow me to my house? And Jesus, to the amazement of all, the rabbi who was supposed to have followers, he followed one of his followers to his house. And we saw the table manners of availability and approachability. In Luke chapter 7, we see Jesus is not at a tax collector's house. He's not at the house with a sinner. He's now at table with a Pharisee, the other side of the spectrum, someone who was confident in their own righteousness. And in Luke 7, when Jesus was at that table with a Pharisee, his name was Simon. A sinful woman from the community came and did the unthinkable. She let her hair down and started wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. And wetting Jesus' feet with her tears. And immediately the Pharisee denounces Jesus. If this man was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman it was that was touching him. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you a story, Simon. And he tells a story about a moneylender who had debts on his books from two different people. On one of the debts was 50 denarii. And another debt was 500. And he decided to forgive both of the debts. And in a dramatic recording of the choreography of the scene, Luke records that Jesus turns to the woman but speaks to Simon. He turns away from the man confident in his own righteousness toward the sinful woman, but he speaks directly to Simon. He says, and now which one, Simon, as he looks at the woman, which person would love the moneylender more? Simon says, the one who had the greater debt forgiven. And Jesus then goes on to speak of the great forgiveness that this woman has received, evidenced by her great love for Jesus. And he lands the plane by saying, you see, Simon, you can tell if someone is forgiven little because they love little. And you can tell someone has been forgiven much because they love much. And so we saw at a table with a Pharisee, Jesus' table manner of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 9, we saw Jesus at a table with 5,000. And the disciples saying to Jesus, send them away. We have no way to feed this many people. And that was just 5,000 men. It did not include all of the women and there were children that were present there in the crowd, this incredibly sized crowd. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, you give them something to eat. And I often think, why would he do that to his disciples? Why wouldn't he just say, okay, here's the miracle? I think he said, you give them something to eat. So they understood that they could not. That apart from Jesus, they had no power to provide for this crowd. And as Jesus received just a couple of loaves and two fish, that's what his disciples came up with when they went to scour the crowd for something to eat. Jesus took that bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and he gave it to the disciples. And the story ends that they all ate and were satisfied. If you remember that sermon, they were in a desolate place. They were in the wilderness, they were in the desert. What started in desolation ended in satisfaction. And so we saw Jesus' table manner of provision. From there, we saw Jesus at a table with the powerful. This is a gathering of religious leaders and people that had power and influence in the community. This is in Luke chapter 14. And we saw them climbing over one another to get at the best seats in the house. And Jesus said, that's not how you should behave at a banquet. You should actually humble yourselves and take the lowest seat at the banquet. And then he turns toward the host of this banquet. He says, you keep inviting your friends, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. You see, the problem is they can pay you back. Why don't you think about this? Maybe you could invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And though they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, Jesus says. We saw Jesus asking this host to open up his table to some strangers. And we learned the root of the word hospitality in the Greek language. Xenos, stranger, phobos. Phila, phobos is fear. Phila, love. Xenos, phila, love of the stranger. Why don't you invite some strangers into your home? Jesus challenged the host of this banquet. And so we saw Jesus' table manner of hospitality. Open the table up to some strangers, Jesus said. We then saw a scene at a table with the Father as we walked through the parable of the lost son. the parable of the lost son that went and squandered his father's wealth in what the Bible calls wild living. And when he had lost it all and he found himself so desperate that he had hired himself out to a Gentile in a foreign land. And this is a good Jewish boy. Now he's working for a Gentile. And he now longs to eat the food of the pigs that he is in charge of feeding. He comes to his senses. He says he's going to go home and see if he can become a slave in his father's house. Ultimately, the father runs to him, welcomes him back, and sets up a feast, a banquet, a celebration, opens up a table. And it doesn't say that the father did it begrudgingly. We see it was to the joy of the father that he threw this celebration for the son. And we saw Jesus' table manner of joy at finding lost things. Finally, this past week, we were at a table with the despised, a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, someone who they could only see in him the soul of someone, the husk of a soul, a husk because it had been eaten away, his soul had been eaten away by complicity with the Roman oppression of God's people. And at this table with this despised man, we saw that Jesus saw him first, that Jesus sought him out, and ultimately Jesus saved him. Table manners of seeing, seeking, and saving even the most despised man in that community. In the first sermon, we talked about some practical advice for how we might rearrange our time around our tables as we come to this season of Lent. And the practical advice we talked about was take time and take phones, if you remember that. Take time. We looked at 1 Corinthians 11, which is the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church in Corinth about how they're not spending time around the table in a way that honors Jesus' instructions on how to come to his table. And after some different advice, Paul ends with this in verse 33. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. So practical. After this great theological treatise on what communion is and how it can be celebrated well, he says, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait. Wait for one another. Take time. We talked about taking phones, that these things in our pockets can become such distractions for to move our eyes from the people that God has placed right in front of us. And so this evening, I want to let us know we're going to take some time around the tables. I'll explain how we'll do it a little later. But I also want us to take our phones, literally, right now. I want to invite everyone to turn it off. Remember, I said there's an off button. Not, you remember that, right? We all did. When it was a good enough excuse just to say, I'm sorry, I wasn't home. I mean that, literally. See, if you want to participate, pull your phone out of your pocket right now. Shut it off. Don't put it on airplane mode. Don't put it on vibrate. Don't try to silence it. Literally shut it off. Free yourself right now from the distractions that we have as we come to Jesus' table. Just power it down and see if your focus doesn't shift. See if you're not more fully present at the table with him. Because now we come to his table, having reviewed the table manners of Jesus. And I want you to see what I get to see as I stand at this table. Because what I get to see as I stand at this table is a picture, an image, if you want to go to that picture, please. An image of the scripture that Rich read that I'll read and walk us through. It's a beautiful wood carving that one of our chapel missions partners, obtained in Israel and donated to the chapel, and another skilled craftsman in our chapel family worked to inlay this wood carving into the table. It's a scene of what it might have looked like at the Last Supper, and I hope as you look at that picture and as I read these words, the words on the page may deepen in their meaning and our understanding of them. Let me read to you just the first verse from Luke chapter 22, and then I'll continue on. This is Luke 22, verse 14 and 15. And when the hour came, he reclined at table. There's Jesus reclining at table. And the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I think, why? Why would Jesus want to have this meal of all the things that he could do before he suffered? Why would he do this? I've been doing a devotional this Lenten season. It's called Lent for Everyone by N.T. Wright. And it goes through the Gospel of Luke. And Tom Wright commented on this passage. He said this, when Jesus celebrated his last meal with his followers, he intended it to be a meal that would explain what was going to happen. He wanted to explain his forthcoming death, not by providing a theory for us to get our minds around, but a meal for us to share. He's attempting to help his disciples and us understand what he was about to go through, what we can see that he went through. And he didn't get up there and say, I've got a lecture for you to explain it all so you can understand it intellectually. He said, I have a meal that I want to celebrate so that you can understand it in your heart and share it together. He goes on and says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. He took bread. He broke it. He started giving it to his disciples. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten. He took a cup. He said, this cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man has been goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. And we often don't read past that point. It's not listed in your scripture, but if you keep reading, it says, and a dispute arose among them. And this is where I think this picture is beautiful. Look at the discussions. Look at who's looking at Jesus and who's not and who's arguing with one another. It goes on. It says, a dispute arose among them as to which one of them would be regarded as the greatest. Jesus had just said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He had just said, this is the cup of a new covenant, a new contract, a new agreement between God and man that will be made in my own blood. And then they start to argue about who is the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves. And we know from John's gospel that Jesus is referring to his washing of his disciples' feet. I am among you as one who serves. And so that's a new table manner that we can add to our list. Table manner of service, which connects to this big picture idea for Maundy Thursday from the Latin mandatum, which we get our English word mandate from, this new command to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And so we're going to come to his table to experience his table manners. And let me just tell you how that's going to work this evening. The ushers are going to dismiss entire rows at a time. And this section over here by the organ will come to that table. This section in the middle will come to this middle table. This section will come to this table. And over on the drum side will go to that table. Entire rows of us will come together. And we want to ask that you fill around the whole table, that it's not one of the pastors on one side and the people on another, that we're all around the table together. And the pastor will walk you through a brief liturgy, a brief scripture reading and prayer. And then we will serve each other communion around the table. And then finally, the pastor will offer some words about what this means. And as we do this, it's a little different. And we've never come around the table like this before. But as I was encouraged in one of our worship planning meetings this week, every family dinner gets a little messy. So it's okay if it gets a little messy. It's okay if it takes a little time. It's okay if we're not exactly sure of all of the different mechanics. Pause. Slow down. Wait for each other. Listen for Jesus' table manners of availability, approachability, forgiveness, provision, hospitality, joy, seeing, seeking, saving, service, love. And let's see if we can't just be that type of community that comes to Jesus' table manners, experiences his table manners, and then aligns the way we treat one another here in the body of Christ in like manner. And so let us come to his table. All who have placed their faith in him, come to his table. And if you have yet to place your faith in him, come to the table and maybe put your hand over your heart as the elements are being passed. And the pastor will pray for you. You can come and experience what the table manners look like up close, and we can pray for you as you consider what placing your faith in Jesus might look like. But come to the table. It's open. He's calling us. He's there. Let's experience his table manners together this Maundy Thursday.